All right. Welcome. Glad you came out in the back to snow. It's Indiana weather. It's March Madness, 70 to 45 to 70 to 45. You know, we do go to church on Sundays. Some call it we go to worship service. Thing of it is, I'm not sure everyone that goes to church knows what that means if they say go to worship service. You know, worship means to show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. Words means to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, and devotion. And the last thing is to perform or take part in worship or the act of worshiping. So it's not just a noun, it's a verb. It's something we do. And we worship in what we would call a lot of different ways. If you attend different churches, you'll find all kinds of ways. They say they worship. You'll get some large ones, older ones maybe, denominations with more classical type music, I would call it. You know, you got Messiah and Hallelujah and songs like that going on. They've got choruses and big choirs going on, and that's part of worship. Some use hymns like we do. Some use combination hymns and some of the new stuff you hear on the radio and things. Some have their hands raised. I see a few hands raised from time to time. Some have feet moving. I see some swaying at least. I've seen Judy kind of bouncing around a little bit back there from time to time. So some get into jumping. Kind of up and down. I remember one church we went to that sang a song and the guy pogo-sticked in the aisle right beside me the whole time. Got to admit, it kind of took me away from my focus because he was jumping up and he's in good shape because he never stopped. He was up and down the whole time, but that was his act of worship. But some are shouting out hallelujah. Some shouts out amens, among other things. You know, others acts of worship, they sit quietly. You know, heads are bowed, maybe praying, maybe meditating. You know, sometimes they even get to where they're bowing down, they're kneeling. That's their worship. There's a lot of things and a lot of ways we call worship. I'm going to go to John 4 today. John 4, verses 19 through 26. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she knew about worship, but Jesus, as he had been clearing up a few things in her life, you know, and telling her who she was and what she'd been doing, and as she said later, he knew, he told me all about everything I ever did. I don't know if he was there that long, but that's what she felt, that he knew who she was. Jesus knew her. But Jesus cleared up some things as far as worship goes too, and sometimes I think we miss that part, you know, where he's talking to her and what she does, and talking, he reveals himself for who he is, and you know, at the end he tells her to go and sin no more, and that doesn't mean she wasn't going to sin anymore. That means stop doing what you're doing. You know, change yourself. Don't do that anymore. You know, you're not going to be perfect, but stop doing that. Mature yourself and me. So we're going to read this, and I want to get into the worship part of it that he brings out. So it's John 4, 19 through 26. It says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus said, "believe me, a time is coming where you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one you speak to, the one speaking to you, I am he." So the woman knew about worship, knew of the place to worship from her ancestors. This is where we've done it. It's the way we've always done it. And then when she said, well, and they told us we have to go to a different place. We have to go to Jerusalem if we want to worship. And Jesus, you know, and his answer said, you know, the where doesn't matter. It's not the where. And I think he goes on to say the main problem is, you know, one of the first problems you have is you don't know what you worship. You don't understand. You don't know what you worship. You don't know who you worship. How many people does that apply to today? I think probably more than we can imagine. So what or who do we worship? We've got to take a look at it. Most of the time, the initial response is ourself. You know, we self-worship by nature. That sin nature is still in there. We self-worship. You know, it's whatever I need. You know, whatever I need. It's all for my well-being. You know, it's all for my happiness. It's all for my welfare. You know, it's my thing going on. And then we need to look at what other things do we place ahead of God on the list. What other things are more important? What other things draw our attention? You know, it doesn't matter. None of those are worth worshiping. Only God is worth worshiping. Jesus is worthy of worship. God alone is worthy of our praise, our love, our devotion, and our service. Because of who he is and what he's done for us. And if you're willing to tell others just that same sentence, you're worshiping. Because you're pointing them towards him. You're giving him the praise and the glory that he deserves. Worship is actively desiring and seeking after the object of worship. Hopefully that's God. A lot of cases it's not. It's a person, a place, or a thing. But it's hopefully God. And it's again, if you know God and who he is and you have that relationship, can understand that. Understand he's the creator of all things. You know, sometimes if you know Lori needs a transplant, an organ transplant, you know, if you get one, I imagine you would be pretty happy and be pretty thankful and appreciative and you know, give praises to that person that gave that to you, that saved you. What more to one that saved you from all eternity? They give you a home. They give you a new life that created you. What more to be appreciated of and to give glory to? Sort of gets into the attitude, well, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to know and experience God. I'm going to do that because I want to know him. I want to experience him because he's worthy. It's worthy of all that praise. It says true worshipers. Or again, keep in mind, true worshipers, as he says in the text. Worship in spirit and truth. You know, again, the location doesn't matter because God's with us. True believers worship with their whole being, you know, their soul, their mind, their feelings, their emotions, their, you know, it doesn't matter where, but our whole being needs to be into it. Our focus needs to be on God and really know him because God, again, God's everywhere. You know, the Holy Spirit's with you in the car when you're driving around. He's with you in the shower. And don't make fun. I get words and stuff pops in my head in the shower. That's when I hear things sometimes because you get into routine, you do everything the same thing. So you're just thinking about stuff. And the shower is where sometimes he throws words at me. At work, at school, you know, at the supper table, at the ball game, at quilt meetings, at wherever you're at, God is there. God is there. He's everywhere. He's all around and all the time. And we worship the truth because it's revealed in us by the Spirit. The Spirit tells us who he is, what he's doing, how he's working in our life. You know, worship is important to God. That's what he demands. You know, that's we're to worship him. Worship shows who is highest, what's highest in our life, and who's worthy. And Satan wanted it. You know, he wanted to be God. And Matthew 4, 8 through 11, you know, Jesus, you know, after he was baptized, went out into the desert for these 40 days, and it gives three instances where the devil tempted him. I'm sure he tempted him for 40 days. But the last one, again, was again the in verses 8 through 11, Matthew 4 says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says, all of this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. You know, Satan desires that worship that's due God. And unfortunately, many people give it to him. You know, some are brazenly open about it. Some are maybe a little bit more secretive, but they worship him just the same because they put him first. You know, he offered Jesus everything he could give him if he would just bow down and worship him. You know, Satan wanted complete submission and surrender of Jesus to him. You know, Satan lies, of course, and offers you a lot of things. Most of them don't come true. But he puts enough truth in them to get your attention, to get you to bite. Now, he had the authority of the prince of the world to give those things to Jesus. So it wasn't that he was couldn't give it, he could. But Jesus turned to God's word the way we should. What an example. You know, he said, get away. You know, just get away. Because it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And what happens when we turn to the word of God? Satan left. Got to change our mind. Don't give in to Satan. Turn to God. Worshiping God's wanting the same thing. He wants us to submit and to surrender to him and just to praise him, to understand him. But worship's from the heart. You know, worship, it's a deep, it's heartfelt, it's emotional. But it's not just emotional, it's an honest devotion and appreciation for God and who he is. You know, Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules that they've been taught. You know, it's not about location. That's important for praise. Although I'd like to believe, you know, this church, along with many other churches, draw true believers together in worship. That's why we're here. It's a wonderful supernatural thing when it happens. Kind of like that song yesterday. Kind of had to be there. As Randy said, you felt it. But I hope you all not just feel it, but you know it. When you come and you recognize it's here. Sometimes we get into routines. We just go through the motions. And I know there are some denominations and stuff that, you know, have these rules and how you're supposed to do it. And this is what you do, and this is what you do, and this is what you do. I mean, worship's in a lot of things. You know, even in communion, we worship. We remember. That's why we do it once a month here. You know, been to a lot of churches, they do it every Sunday. And most of it end up being, some of them even, they hardly mention it. They just pass out the goodies when you go in. Okay, take it. There might be a sentence that says it's a communion, just take it as you desire and then buy. And that's it. That's not worship. I don't think that's even taking communion in a proper manner. It's got to mean something. You know, you go out, someone asks you, what did you do today? What'd you do at church? What'd you do at worship service? Well, I sang some songs. Went to Sunday school. You know, maybe I even taught Sunday school today. You know, set up some chairs, took some chairs down. Had some fellowship between services. Oh, I heard a message. You know, all of those can be worship. But were they meaningful? Was it just external things? You know, maybe your lips were engaged. But was your heart? You heard a message. But did you listen for God in it? External will leave you empty. You know, if you came to her church, you know, labeled as a filling station, you come to fill up for the week. If you came to fill up, and it was all external, you went home less than full. I'm not saying you didn't get a little bit, but you're less than full. Some of it's self-service. You got to participate. You know, sometimes I can sense those that do. I see it in faces, and I see it in silence when God's speaking to you. I can see, not picking on anybody, I can see eyes, and there's times when it just gets, and I don't know if it does to you, but to me, so deadly silence. There's like nothing. And I think that's when God's speaking to you. Not me. God is speaking to you. I think you and the Holy Spirit are worshiping together in those times. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're to give God everything we have. Everything we have. That's our act of worship, true and proper act of worship. You know, we sing songs, we pray, we praise, listening to his voice and the moving of the Holy Spirit. We want to praise him in all of those things we do at church. They all lead to worship. But do you come ready? Do you come prepared? You know, are there times when you're thinking, I'm sure these things don't happen here, you know, thinking, oh, I hope he doesn't run over too long today. Oh, I'd really like to leave here on time today. Or you're wondering, well, where we're going to go to lunch after church? You know, where are we going to eat? Or, I got the oven on, so better end on time today. Then you get, boy, was that, you know, you're thinking in your mind, boy, that message, that was boring. That was boring. Or there's complaints on the way home about this and about that. Maybe about so-and-so, or maybe this song or that song. The worst ones, I just didn't get anything out of that. You know, our worship experience, if it's based on how comfortable we are, or our level of entertainment, or just our own specific satisfaction, if any or all of those are true, there's trouble connecting, then we need to look at our heart and our relationship and our standing in Christ. You know, God is number one. It's the only position he'll take, the only position he'll accept. What's keeping us from it? Going to have an invitation in just a minute. You know, church is not only what you can get, what you can get from it, it's what you can give. You know, you can say, well, I didn't get anything out of that this morning. But what did you give? What did you put in it? Church is getting, you know, this is a place to come to get, it's really come to get fed, some teaching, some thoughts, is to for you guys to go out and do what God's asked you to do. You got to come ready to worship. You know, do that in the morning. You know, I've got about an hour car ride to prepare myself. I wasn't working early on. My better half likes to talk a little bit and show me things. So we had to agree early on, halfway. The other halfway's mine. Just in silence, because I got to think about things and get myself ready. Now it's probably more quiet for both of us on the way down. Not that she's mad. But prepare yourself. You know, come with the right attitude. You know, let all those questions you have go. Lunch, you know, what's this? Let them go until afterwards. After you've given everything else to God. You might not have as many questions if you do. You know, we worship things we want to be like. So worship God in spirit and truth, and it'll draw you to be like Him. So how do we worship again? I just want to read Psalm 100, 1 through 5, but there's only 5 verses in Psalm 100. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations." So give God the devotion, the honor, the glory that He deserves by giving your heart and your mind and your soul to Him and worship. You know, if you didn't today, why not? And then seek those answers and see what's holding you back from giving all those things to Him. You'll see a difference. Let's pray.